son. I see you also brought some.
Unbelievable. They show that when you're running, very interesting, when you're running, because sometimes certain runners can just run better, right? So the other doctor realizes your heart is a pump. Pumps blood. But when you're running, your muscles are pumping blood, right? Pumps in your muscles, and it's pumping, right? But if you're not pumping in sequence, when the heart pumps, it's fighting the body. The body's, the muscles in the body, the blood is fighting the heart. So you create a little device, you just put on your chest, and it ties to an app that you can listen to a beep. And if you line up the beeping with your running, your heart pumps in line with the muscles, and it changes your ability to run. You can check that. And when you analyze long run, like long people who run marathons and all that, and do that, they naturally know how to line up that alignment.
The rhythm, huh? It's a rhythm.
But they figured in their bodies have figured it out. Right?
So they
wow, so nice.
They talk about artificial intelligence and, you know, 3D printing food, right? You don't have no more animals. You don't need any more animals.
Yeah.
They take the cells, right? So they can take cells.
Burger
and there's a whole halacha. I was talking to Rabbi Ganek about it. Yeah. First he said it may be parlay. Then the question is whether or not you're eating from a live animal, because it comes from a live animal. Are you eating food from a live animal? He's like, all these halachas you gotta figure out, because you never have to kill a cow again. They take the cell from the cow, they grow the cow. They grow the food, and they can grow all the food you want without.
How do they do that? How?
It's like they grow the cells.
They can
grow the cell. They're going to grow food specific to you if you have diabetes, blood pressure. They'll be able to print. They'll watch you, monitor today, your blood pressure's high, your sugar's low. They'll print out food specific for you dinner.
What
tonight.
Does that mean, print?
You know,
on a machine.
Printers?
Yeah.
So they print it.
Put cells in, and they're going to print you out a hamburger. Want a hamburger? We'll give you a hamburger.
And then what?
You eat it.
You eat it.
You don't have to shaft it, you don't do anything, you just
what
do
you mean naive? I mean,
it comes out, it sells.
It comes into
meat.
It turns into a solid.
It grows meat.
It's just a regular burger, and what they do is they
print it on what? What
on
paper
printer.
Or what?
It's you never see 3D printers? You ever see 3D printer?
Huh?
You ever see a 3D printer?
No.
They're printing on
it's like a roll of plastic. You feed, instead of feeding paper, you feed the printer with
a material
with plastic.
Well, what material is over there?
Cells.
So these cells.
There's an Israeli company that was here last year that printed out a functioning kidney for an animal, for a pig. They put this, and they said, we don't know why the cells do it. They put these stem cells in.
It
figures out where to go.
They did it with lungs, but they only lasted a week.
So how's they going to eat Persian food?
What?
They're going to print Persian food.
Print anything you want to. Crazy.
I can't find it now.
Oh.
I want to find this thing. I can't find it now.
Oh.
I thought it's
page 60.
The Gemara says,
the Gemara says,
the Gemara says, the blood says, I am the head of all the sicknesses. And the Gemara says, the medicine for the blood is wine. Gets it, nothing else. You have to fix your blood. So you see today, you go to a doctor, makes a blood test, he knows everything what you have. The Gemara says, everything is in the blood, everything. See, they said the artery is clogged, yeah? How the artery is clogged? That's cholesterol. How do you get cholesterol in the blood? How do you get cholesterol in the arteries? From the blood. How did the blood do this? Did you have cholesterol? Did you have fat? Because you eat fat food. So the blood is fat. The blood is fat. The blood goes through the arteries all the time. So it leaves some fat. How are you going to get rid of it? The same way it came in. How did it come in? You ate fat food. Now you have to burn this fat that's on the arteries. So you have to make your blood hot. If you eat jalapeno and ginger and onion, a lot. Blood, you take out the blood, you test the blood, you're not allowed to, yeah? But if somebody, you know, for medicine you're allowed, test the blood is going to be very sharp. Before, the blood used to be fat. You put the blood in your heart, you feel fat. That's why odors are clogged. Now you want to reduce cholesterol, but nothing is a shaker. But he knows, he used to work for a company, he used to put cinnamon in capsules, the blood, there is no cholesterol. How does it work? Because cinnamon is very sharp. So you eat cinnamon, so it's in the blood. So blood becomes sharp. The blood becomes sharp, goes through the arteries. So it burns all this fat that you have on the arteries. You know, it's tens and nothing. But sometimes it's too late. So the guy is having a heart attack, so you have to put a stent. But if the guy you have cholesterol, immediately you have to stop eating fat, that the blood should be fat. Right away to make the blood sharp, hot. So then, jalapeno, all this sharp thing that you eat, horseradish, this, they can say this is antioxidant, that's not, the whole thing is nonsense. You have to make the blood, the Gemara says. Gemara says wine does it. Gemara says wine does it. And the secret on the wine doesn't do it. Why the wine doesn't do it? The Gemara says, when you make the wine, they have to be very quiet. They don't have to talk when you make the wine. Like we say, Kishem Shakol Yafela Besamim, we say in Pita Maktoret, while they used to grind the spices, they used to talk. So actually, the sound that comes from the mouth helps the spices. Kishem Shakol Yafela Adek Atev Atev Adek Shem Shakol Yafela Besamim says the Gemara Hakol Yafel Absamim. For the spices, it's good that you talk. Kashel Ayayin. The wine. The wine. When you make the wine, you cannot talk. You're going to make wine from stage one. You're not going to talk. And with the right kavanah, then the wine can fix the whole blood. So I think it's been 16 Baba Batra. No, I can't find it right now.
Just like
I don't remember where it was. I don't think that's the page, but let's see. I have to look for it. I don't remember where it is.
Whatever you do with the kettle, you beautiful.
With your permission. I have to look it up. I don't know. I thought it'd be 60. I don't find it. No. This is Parashat Vayishlach. With your permission, the Torah tells us Yaakov Avinu sent angels to Esav to try to make up peace with Esav. Shimshon Mostopoulos says he sent three angels. Abbreviation of those three angels is Mamash, Michael, Malkiel, Shanandiel. Send him to see and to try to make peace with Esau. You know, the Torah doesn't say what happened, but the Gemara says the angels came to Esau and hit him. And hit the 400 people that he is coming along with them to kill Yaakov. When they come, they don't tell it to Yaakov. We should have told Yaakov, we went over there and we made sure they did not know anything to you because we hit them hard. The Gemara says he used to ask the 400 people, who are you for? And I said, we are with Esav. Start hitting them. Until the guy says, what do you want from me? And I said, you have to go for Yaakov's side. Don't you dare touch Yaakov. The angels come back to do the opposite. They tell Yaakov, we met Esav and he's coming 400 men. So why don't you tell Yaakov? Tell Yaakov, he hit them and nothing to worry. No, nothing. The opposite. Yaakov gets more scared now. And divides his people, divides the camp and everything. He prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save him from Esav. Esav comes. So before Esav comes, I'm sorry, an angel comes from Shamayim. The Gemara says this was the Satan, the Malach HaMavet. Tzaro shel Esav. The Satan is the minister in Shamayim of Esav. The way the Torah tells us, the way the Gemara explains, Yaakov forgot some little cans on the side that he came from Laban, on the east side of the Jordan River. And he crossed anybody. Then he remembered he forgot a few cans. Then he went back to the other side. Then over there he meets someone. That someone dressed like a man, but he's really an angel. Angel from Shamayim is here to kill Yaakov. Angels cannot come from Shamayim to kill somebody, almost never, unless he has a visa from Hashem. He just cannot come downstairs here. Hashem has to give you a visa to come down here. It means Hashem gave this angel a visa to kill Yaakov Avinu. It's very interesting. This is Yaakov Avinu. In 1 minute, is no more Yaakov Avinu. And Hashem sent him in the form of a man. So must be this is a trick of him because he can't fight an angel. Malach HaMavit doesn't come to people to lift the neshama in the form of a man. He's an angel, and the guy loses his neshama and he died. Here, Hashem made it this way, that he is an angel, and he's with Malach HaMavit, and he's going to wrestle with Yaakov. And Yaakov is trying very hard, back and forth. So they read the text this way. What does it mean? What does it mean? He's an angel. So what if he's a person? So he got dressed like a man, but he's an angel. So you can. What do you mean you can overcome an angel? You can overcome an angel. It's impossible to overcome an angel. There's no way to, and especially Malach HaMavet, what do you mean? You overcome him, you can't come. But what tells you, read the story, I don't know what people think when they read it. It's impossible to find an angel, and it's impossible to win an angel. And here comes the Torah, Yarki lo yacholo. The Torah says that the angel sees that he cannot overcome Yaakov. He touched his thigh, and Yaakov is holding him down, holding an angel down. So the angel tells him, listen, send me. So Yaakov says, I'm not sending you. He says, listen, it's time for me. Now it's dawn, and I have to sing upstairs in Shamayim. Please, release me. It's very, very strange. An angel asks Yaakov Avinu to release him. Very strange. So Yaakov said, no, I'm not going to release you. I want you to admit. I know who you are. Yaakov recognized him. And Yaakov wants now a bracha from him. A bracha. He wants the angel to admit on the blessings that Yaakov got from Yitzchak. Since this angel is the angel of Esau, so he wants the angel to admit that the brachot really are valid to Yaakov. So the angel doesn't say that he agrees, but he tells Yaakov, listen, you're going to arrive at the destination in Bethel. Hashem over there will change your name from Yaakov to Israel, and I'll be there as well. And over there will tell you the brachot that you got from Esau, from your father, from Yitzchak, and you took it away from Esau, it's for you. And so Yaakov said, the Gemara said, Yaakov said, no, right now, I want you to tell me that I deserve the blessings. So the Torah tells us, the angel said, you know, your name is Israel, and it's because you overcome Elohim Anashim, it says, an angel, overcome an angel. And Anashim is Esav and Laban, you won. Your name is Israel. It's a very strange thing. What do you mean you changed my name to Israel? Even though the Gemara says me it wasn't a change. Hashem changed Abraham's name to Abraham. Nobody is allowed to call Abraham anymore. Gemara says, no, Yaakov and Israel, they stay together. Why stay together? Shouldn't stay. The angel tells Yaakov, your name is going to be Israel. Then Hashem is going to meet Yaakov later. And your name is Israel. So she finished with Yaakov. What do you need Yaakov now? Rabbi said, all time, he said, Yaakov Avinu. Almost no one says Israel Avinu. Hashem said, your name is Israel. So no more Yaakov. Make Israel now. No. Yaakov is going to be Yaakov and also Israel. So what's the significance of Israel? I said, because you won. Who cares? So you know, you won an answer. Good, fine. You don't have to change my name. You have to change my name. Again, the Gemara says, Yaakov sounds like that he did something from the heel or something. But he calls him Yaakov. Hashem called him Yaakov. See, we still call him Yaakov. But what's the excuse is this? He's changing his name to Israel because Yaakov is not just a nice name. Okay, it's not nice. Okay, fine. So change my name. No, don't change my name. No, no. Sometimes we're going to call Yaakov, sometimes we're going to call Israel. Why? You think Yaakov is not good? Change my name. No, no, don't change my name. Why change my name? Why do you need to change? You don't have to change your name. Say Yaakov. So big deal. So call him Yaakov, Yaakov. Yaakov is a powerful name. Again, it's impossible to win an angel. It's impossible to have a discussion with an angel. At least in the middle, all of a sudden, he's overcome an angel. And it all continues. It says, finally, Esav is coming. Yaakov runs over to him, bow down. The Zohar says he bow down to Hashem, not really to Esav. So, it's after the angel, already spoke to Yaakov, and surrounded to Yaakov. Esav is going to Yaakov. He wants to kill him. He wants to bite him on his neck. He was hit already by those three angels that Yaakov sent. Now Baruch Hashem changed his name. His name is Israel. Okay, so now what's wrong now? Why Esav wants to kill him? Besides, the Kadosh Baruch Hu promised him next week, Parasha, that he has nothing to worry. Hashem said, V'yeimach, nothing to worry, I'm going to watch over you. And Esav comes, and he wants to kill him, wants to bite him. The Kadosh Baruch Hu had to make a miracle. That Yaakov's neck became like marble, and Esav bit into the marble and broke his teeth. Very strange thing. It is from Shamayim. The Esav has the power not to go kill Yaakov. And then Torah comes to the story with Dinah, that Yaakov, Dinah went outside, it was some music, goy music, and Dinah rolled up her sleeve a little bit, and Yimachshem Hashem saw her, and he kidnapped her, finally they released her. Then the Torah says that Rachel Eminu died, story in the Torah. Something man says that Hashem told Yaakov, you know why it happened to Dinah, why the kingdom of Dinah? That's because you delayed your promise. Remember your promise? Before you left to Lavan, you promised he's going to have this monument. After the dream, you say you're going to pour oil, it's going to be better looking. You delayed your dream. You delayed your dream, happened to Dinah. What does this have to do with anything? And the Gemara says also, you know what happened to Dina? Because when Yaakov crossed the Jordan River, he put Dina in the box. The whole time Dina was in the box. When Yaakov met Esau, he says 11 children, where is Dina? Dina is in the box. Yaakov put it in the box. He learned from Avinu. Avraham put Sarah in the box. When he came down to Egypt, Avraham put Sarah in the box. Yaakov put Dinah in the box. Why? He did not want Esav to see her because Esav would have married her. Yaakov wanted to prevent it. He's right. But he doesn't want El Capone to be his son-in-law. Esav is a murderer. Mar says, well, maybe Dinah would have made Esav to be Baal Tshuva. Okay. Maybe. But it's not something that I should sacrifice my daughter for this Esav, the worst in the world. Maybe she'll make him tshuva. You want to give your daughter to somebody that you know it's underground mafia? The trash of the world. Esav, trash of the world. So maybe she'll make him tshuva. It's obligation of Yaakov. Or somebody is a daughter, somebody Shatran comes over to him and says, listen, I have a good chiduch for you. Gambino's son, Vakaro's son. He says, you're out of your mind. He says, she's going to make him Baal Tshuva. He says, listen, I risk my daughter to make him Baal Tshuva, but she's not going to do such a thing. What kind of nonsense is this? I should give my daughter to a mafia guy. Shema Tachzirin Baal Tshuva. So Yaakov Avinu, he has to think that Dinah is going to make Esav Baal Tshuva. He never made Tshuva in his life, Esav. The worst of the worst. So every time somebody has a girl, so he has to marry her to a low life person, he should be making tshuva. That's your obligation. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's literally that's what it means. I don't think. When I said this, Hashem told Yaakov, I didn't want him, you didn't want Esav to marry her? Okay, now Shem and Chamor, Machshimo, he's going to kidnap her. I said, what do you want from Yaakov? Of course he doesn't want her. He doesn't want this animal. Besides, Esav is almost 100 years old and she's 6 or 7 or 5. So it's a question how old she was. So you want somebody 100 years old to marry this? You allow Shulchan Aruch? This says, not allowed to. Old man is not allowed to marry a young girl. It says Shulchan Aruch. Zakenu is Isaktana. It says Shulchan Aruch. It says, well, he's 100 years old, he should take dinner. What does it mean? Hard, I don't know. I won't say anything. But for me, it was hard to believe that that's what they complained about Yaakov, that he put in the box. You know, my Torah tenu, Torah temet. In Parashat Chaye Sarah, it says that Avraham Avinu called up Eliezer, and he wants him to go to Haran to find Shiduch. So the description of this Eliezer, he says that Eliezer was the body of Chanoch. Body of Chanoch, then he became Yosef HaTzadik's body. The Torah describes him, Parashat Lech Lecha, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks, when Avraham talks to Hashem, he tells him, Ben Beti Yoresh Oti Damesek Eliezer. What says Damesek is abbreviation to Lehu Mashke, was Rosh Hashiva. Like in Chanichav, the Torah describes Eliezer, the holiest of the holiest. Before he's going on a mission to find Yishidot Yitzchak, the Torah describes him. Zikan betua Moshel b'chol Hashem, they didn't say his name. I said, Avraham Avinu is calling. So who is he calling? Zikan betua. Gemara says, Eliezer looked like Avraham. Just he was a dark complex. But he was like Avraham Avinu. Moshel b'chol Hashem. Says Avraham trusted him, gave him all the keys for all his saves. And the Zohar said that he controls his desires completely, like Avraham Avinu. Moshel b'chol Hashalom. Okay, doesn't say his name Eliezer. Okay, all of a sudden, Avraham tells him, "Come over here. I want you to go and swear to me that you're not going to take any girl for Yitzchak from this place. Go to Haran." Okay, the next sentence. וייקח העבד עשרה גמלים מגמלי אדוניו. כל הפסה לתורה עשה איזה... סלייב. לא סלייב. וזו ראש השיבה. Didn't you tell me, looks like Abraham? Didn't you tell me that משה בכל שלו, he controls everything? Didn't you tell me that Abraham אבינו calls him בן ביתי, my son? לא סלייב לעבד. No, the whole parasha doesn't mention anything about Eliezer. Call him the slave came, the slave is by the water, the slave comes to the house, the slave wants to go back, the slave comes back, he meets Yitzchak. What slave? What happened to the Rosh Hashiva? No more Rosh Hashiva? Why? And one time when he comes to the house and he said, Eved Avraham Anochi, he says, it's David, because the Gemara says he looks like Avraham Avinu, they should not think he's Avraham Avinu. Okay, fine. But the whole journey to Haran and back from Haran and staying, doesn't say anything, never say the word Eliezer, the whole parasha. So say his name, Eved. What's Eved? What do you want from me? Rosh Hashiva. And we have in parasha the Yechi before Yaakov Avinu died, he called up Yosef, he says, I want you to swear to me that you're not going to bear me in Egypt, take me to Eretz Israel. He said, I'll do it. Yaakov said, no. You got to swear to me. So the Gemara says in one version, Chachamim say that Yaakov in the Ruach HaKodesh, he knew that after he will die, Yosef is going to go to Pharaoh to ask permission to leave the country, to take his father. And the Pharaoh says, no way. And he's going to say, I swore to my father. And the Gemara continues, the Pharaoh says, cancel. The Gemara tells us the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of a promise. because of his swira. One tells us, Yimach Shmuel Nebuchadnezzar came to Yerushalayim one day and took the king Yehoyachin and all the Chachamim, Mordechai and everybody to Iraq. Appointed Yehoyachin's brother, his real name was Matanya, but in the Tanakh it's called Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. A tzaddik shel ador, the Gemara says. Tzaddik, tzaddik, tzaddik. Hashem blessed him with his eyes, so-called the eyes of Hashem, the Gemara says. He was able to look, to see with his eyes, in his completely darkness, but far away as well. It was a tzaddik of generation. So the Gemara says that after he met Tzidkiyahu as a king, one time Tzidkiyahu went to Iraq and he went to visit Yimach Shmuel Nebuchadnezzar, and he went into the room and saw Nebuchadnezzar eating a live rabbit, holding a rabbit in his hand and eating it, biting into it. He was the worst in the world. The Gemara says when he died, his neshama went to Gehenom, so all the neshamot of the Rashaim went to demonstration. And they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are in Gehenom, we suffer with these sins, but we cannot have this guy with us. He can do bad things in Gehenom also. That's how bad he was. So Tzidkiyahu saw him eating a live rabbit, so he was embarrassed. So he told Tzidkiyahu, swear to me that you're not going to tell anybody what you saw. Yeah, it's water. Promise, promise. I don't know how long later, there was a meeting of the kings of the Middle East, and all of them were the slaves of Yimach Shmuel Nebuchadnezzar. He ruled the world, this guy. He used to ride on a lion on the street, and a snake was his calf. So they had a meeting without him, and they decided they want to make Tzidkiyahu the king of the Middle East, of all the countries. They all loved him. And Tzidkiyahu said in the meeting, I think, you know, you have a point, because this guy is an animal. Forget about that he rules us and everything. He's an animal. So I asked him, what do you mean? He said, one time I went and I saw him eating a rabbit, a live rabbit. Now one of the Hashem, the wicked kings, went to Iraq and told Nebuchadnezzar Machshimo, you ate a live rabbit? I said, how do you know? He said, Tzidkiyahu told us. Immediately, Machshimo drafted hundreds of thousands of soldiers, come to Yerushalayim. He comes to Yerushalayim, so Chachamim, I mean, everybody saw the big armies coming, so Chachamim went to greet him. So the Gemara says, Nebuchadnezzar asked them, tell me something in your Torah. If somebody makes a promise, he is allowed to undo the promise, or is allowed to break the promise? Sounds from the discussion and the argument that he understood that Chachamim undid the Shemua. So first he killed all the Chachamim, the Gemara says. Then he went and he conquered Yerushalayim, burned Beit HaMikdash, everything, because of that promise that Tzidkiyahu promised him and didn't keep the promise. Somebody's going to ask us, what happened? Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, because actually Nebuchadnezzar Machshimo already took Yehoyachin, put him in jail in Iraq, and he loved Tzidkiyahu, made him the king. And it was 11 years later, after he took Yehoyachin to Iraq with Mordechai and all the Chachamim, all of a sudden he comes back to Yerushalayim and destroys Yerushalayim. What happened? This guy, Tzidkiyahu, promised something, he didn't keep the promise. You see how powerful the thing is. So Hashem made it this way. That Yerushalayim, I mean, that everything is going to get burned. Of course, I'll tell you, sins there. But what happened? What triggered the destruction? Tisha B'Av? A promise. So what is this? Well, what is such a big deal? Somebody did a promise. You see, Hashem is very worried about it. Actually, we see that we are also very worried about it, because Erev Rosh Hashanah, Amidah Parat Nedarim. Erev Rosh Hashanah, that's what you have in mind. What's important about him? What's important? You made Sklichot the whole month, Baruch Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is coming. Okay, fine. Avraham Tarir. I said, if this is not enough, Kol Nidre, Yom Kippur at night, again Avraham Tarir. You did Rosh Hashanah. No. Again, Kol Nidre, again. What do you have to Kol Nidre now? You did Rosh Hashanah. No. I did it again. What's it all about? It says in the Zohar that somebody makes a neder, the words that he say, it go up all the way to a certain place in Shamayim. It's called Abina, it's called understanding. This is really under the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Zohar says it's like the brother or the sister of wisdom, Chokhmah. It's called Bina. Hamishim Sharei Bina, there are 50 gates of Bina to understand the Torah. So Gemara says a neder, somebody makes something, a promise, doesn't matter what it is, to do something or not to do something. It says this promise is so big, the word that you say is so big, that it's so powerful that you connect yourself all the way up to Shemaim to so called under Kisei HaKavod. And the consequence of this, that you so-called become so-called the highest level that can a person reach, almost like Moshe Rabbeinu, you become a slave. Become a slave of Hashem. So now, Hashem is going to protect you. The Gemara says, Eved Melech Melech. The Gemara says, a slave of a king is like a king. It means the king protects the slave like he is the king. I mean, the slave becomes a part of the king. Eved Melech Melech. So that's a neder. It means like this. I says, what did you do? I says, I put a restriction on myself. I don't do this. Or I promise I'll do something. It means now, why did you do it? Why did you do it? What kind of neder is this? I says, listen, I'm allowed to do such a thing. And I restricted myself. It means now you become so-called a slave to your promise. It says, before I was able to do this, I'm not doing it. I says, I ate all my life lettuce. One time I went to a store and I saw an insect on the lettuce. I made it. I never eat lettuce in my life. And Hashem sees it. So what do you mean? So what do you mean? Why do you eat lettuce? I said, listen, I'm afraid. I don't want to swallow fly or insect or worm on the lettuce. So a Mashgiach told me he found inside a store, I think it was a pizza shop, a grasshopper inside the lettuce. A grasshopper, small one. A grasshopper in the lettuce. In the store already. In the store. Dead, of course. It wasn't alive in the salad. It was dead grasshopper. He said, he has it in the envelope. I said, I made an idea. No more lettuce in my life. So what is exactly what you said? He said, from now on, I'm a slave. Because Hashem said, you can have lettuce. I just took upon myself not to have lettuce. Or certain things that said, I'm going to do something that not necessarily I have to do. So when you take upon yourself such a thing, the level is so high that you become the slave of Hashem. It goes all the way up to Hashem. That's actually, David HaMelech says, in Halel, Ma'ashiv Hashem kol tagmulo yalai. Says, Hashem, what shall I say? He did everything. He does everything. He did everything with me. Kodesh Yishad Hashem Hashem Yikra. Gemara says, when Moshiach will come, David HaMelech is going to say the bracha on the wine. Kodesh Yishad Nedarai Hashem HaShalem. I'm going to fulfill and pay all my nedarim. But this is divinity. This is what you say to Hashem. He gave me everything. He said, I'm going to pay all my nedarim. Yaakov ben Yisrael, Ana Hashem Kani Avdecha, I'm your slave. Ani Avdecha ben Amatecha, not only just a slave, I'm a slave of my mother's slave too. Pitach al Moserai, open my handcuffs. Nedaral Hashem Hashem, again, same sentence again. Again, you just said it. You just said it, if you believe you need it. No, I'm your slave. I'm a slave that I was born to as a maid. Nedaral Hashem Hashem. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Nishbati v'akeima, Shmuel says that the Gemara says, David HaMelech not only made nedarim, he swore, says the Gemara, that he's going to keep the mitzvot. The Gemara says, "Nishbein ala mitzvot." The Gemara says, "A person can swear, I promise Hashem, I'll put tefillin. I swear." The Gemara says, "You don't have to swear. We've been on Sinai. Hashem already on Sinai told you to do all the mitzvot." The Gemara says, "Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. A swear is so powerful. So what do you need it?" He says, "I'll tell you what it is. When you swear, you reach this level all the way up in Shamayim. It's called Bina. It says under the crown of Hashem, under the crown of Hashem, next to Kisei HaKavod, now you have a connection. It's a wireless wire all the way to Hashem to Kisei HaKavod." As David HaMelech says, "Ani avdecha v'nametecha, v'dara l'Hashem v'shalim." I says, "I promise again I'm going to do." Why is this? Because the nether makes you so-called to be the slave of Hashem. That's what the Torah hints to us. And Avraham Avinu, he called up Eliezer, he says, "I want you to go to find a shtick for my son." So let me tell you something. You, the Rosh Hashiva, it's true, you're the biggest. But when you're going to swear to do something, you're the slave of Hashem. Then Hashem is going to help you. Listen, Eliezer, you know, he went to Khan, something that should have taken 17 days, took a few hours, on the way back also, and he comes to the well, and Rivka agrees right away, the whole thing. He says, "Eved, Eved, Eved," the Torah calls him a slave. Not the slave of Abraham Avinu. No. He's the Rosh Hashiva. He's the slave of Hashem. But actually, they said that Hanoch, that his body became an Eliezer, says Lari, he's so-called, he was the slave of Hashem. And all the time, he used to be a shoemaker. And every time he stuck the needle in the leather, he said, "Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto L'Olam Ba'ed." I said, the whole time he said, "Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto, and who are you?" "I'm the slave of Hashem." Actually, the Zohar says that somebody prays to Hashem, it's filah, if you're really not a slave of Hashem, filah will never go up. And you have the Chah. That's it, filah David. After Valet Zion, filah David, Zohar says that paragraph, Ari said to say it. That paragraph is crucial after Valet Zion. Because that paragraph says exactly the conditions for the filah to go up. And Ari says after the filah, after Valet Zion, you should say that paragraph to tell Hashem really who you are. This is the first thing the Zohar says, you have to know that you're a slave of Hashem. That's why you're a slave of Hashem. Of course I'm a slave of Hashem. No. Slave of Hashem means restriction. That you don't do what you want. That gives you a title of slave of Hashem. Otherwise, just because of Hashem is nothing. Or you don't do what you want, or you do certain things that you don't feel that you do it. So then you get a title. This was the wisdom of Yaakov Avinu. Maybe learn it from Avon. He called up Yosef and said, "Listen, you got to swear to me, take my mind to Israel." I said, "Eventually, what's going to happen? Eventually, it's going to happen that you go to Paro, and Paro, he's telling me, if you go to Israel, you know, Paro might tell him, 'No.' He said, 'Listen, Avish Biyoni, I swore to my father.' So what does it mean? I'm a slave of Hashem. I'm a slave of Hashem. You have to think twice. You don't let me go. I'm not a slave of my father. I'm a slave of Hashem." So when somebody swears something, you don't swear to someone. When you swear to someone, it means you swore to Hashem. It means you connected yourself to Hashem. That's the biggest thing. As the Gemara says, you should know, Lodrim Be'et Sarah, the person has Shalom needs a Yeshua, should make an edir right away. Thomas says, "How do you know it?" I said, "I know it from Yaakov." Yaakov was running away from Esav. Let's do parasha. He made an eder. He told Hashem, "If you keep me and you watch me, I'm going to give 20%. Aser Asre Nulach said, Gemara said, Yaakov said 20%. And also, this stone that I just got up from that stone, it's going to be Bet Elokim, and I'm going to come back, and it's going to be the like a Bet HaMikdash." Says the Gemara, Kadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for Yaakov to fulfill his promise. Because the promise is nothing. The promise when you, Yaakov Avinu, you made this promise, automatically, the restriction that you said that you're getting 20%, that you, this stone is going to be a Mizbeach, maybe an altar, like an altar, a Matzeva, a monument, and says, now you try to say that you want to be the slave of Hashem, and that's the Gemara says, that's really watches you. And when you give tzedakah, the Gemara says, when you give tzedakah, it gives you, it's going to save you. It's not the tzedakah. It's the machshava, it's the thought, or the idea that you give it. It's like a neder. A neder means all the way up to Shemaim, you're slave of Hashem. Slave of Hashem, Hashem watches over you. Hashem will not let somebody hurt a slave. So that was, this was, Gemara says, this was Yaakov did. This is the Gemara tells us, in the dream, every time somebody has this, you say, Kupat Ha'ir. You give money, Kupat Ha'ir. Rabbi Kadevsky said, whoever gives Kupat Ha'ir, Hashem will save him. What's the secret behind it? That's the secret. The restriction that you have, you become the slave of Hashem. You connect it to Hashem. Hashem saves you. And he comes at home and tells you, look, Yaakovinu promised something. So actually the Gemara says like this. Yaakovinu went to Lavan. After 14 years, Yosef was born. Yosef was born, Yaakov went to Lavan and says, I'm leaving. And Lavan says, listen, I see the bracha because of you, the water coming, this, stay. Yaakov, in the text, Yaakov says, Matai say gam nochil beti. Okay, I have to make money. I'm in America. I have to go back to Israel. I have to make money in America. In the meantime, the Gemara says, Deborah was sent by Rivka to get Yaakov home. Because Rivka told Yaakov, Pasha told him before Yaakov left, stay for a few years over there, Yamim Achadim, and I'm going to send somebody to get you when I know Esav has come down a little bit. So the Gemara says, Rivka sent Deborah. Deborah came over there, and she told Yaakov, no, we're leaving. Yaakov said, nah, I have to make some money. And my bank account is zero. 6 years, Deborah was waited over there. Finally, they left. And Hashem said, Yaakov, go. And Yaakov calls Rachel and Leah and tells them, an angel, I saw an angel, and he told me, go back to Eretz Israel, to that place that you promised. At that place, you go over there. Maybe you promise something. Yaakov picks up the staff, he goes. He goes, Laban is chasing him, wants to kill him. I said, What happened? Yaakov, you're not serious about running to Eretz Israel to fulfill your promise. I'll show you soon. Eventually, the Torah will tell you. And after Yaakov left Esav, he came to a place, Sukkot. He stays over there 18 months. Hashem says, why are you waiting? Didn't you promise to go there? He's taking it easy. The Gemara says, Hashem told Yaakov, you know what happened in the kingdom of Dina? But he did not fulfill your promise. But it's true, promise, no. You're not the slave of Hashem. You got no protection. This slave of Hashem, this is Shemit Chama, Hashem could not have taken your daughter. There's no way. The problem is not a slave of Hashem. If you be a slave of Hashem, you don't put your daughter in a box. The Ramban says, Avraham Avinu put Sarah in a box. Het galochat Avraham. Ramban says, Avraham Avinu. There's a few people in the Tanakh called the slave of Hashem. The first one is Avraham. Then Yaakov. And it's Kalev. It's Eliyahu Navi and David HaMelech. They got the title of a slave. Slave of Hashem, don't take his wife, put in the box. Ramban said, Avraham made a tremendous mistake. You slave of Hashem, you don't put your. You have to believe in Hashem. You slave of Hashem, Hashem protects you. What kind of business is you put your wife in a box? Ramban says, a major sin of Avraham. That's what Hashem told Yaakov. Why you put Dina in the box? I said, listen, if Hashem would have wanted, she should make Esav to Teshuvah, okay. It's not your problem. Your problem is that you put it in a box. If you're slave of Hashem, you don't put somebody in a box. What do you mean, slave of Hashem? I'm supposed to be slave of Hashem. No, you're not slave of Hashem. You don't. Because you didn't run. Khan of Tabin Uziel said, let me start the story again. Yaakov sends angels to Esav to make peace. Angels go. And they hit Esav. But they come back, they don't tell Yaakov. We hit Esav. Why didn't you tell Yaakov? You understand? Hashem is waiting for Yaakov to fulfill his promise. It's not just, you know, he goes and comes. You left Haran, you on the way to Israel to fulfill the promise to be the slave of Hashem. Actually, the Torah tells us, and Yaakov is praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, ומי יעקב, אלוקי אבי אברהם, אלוקי אבי יצחק. השם אמר לי, השם, you told me, שוב אני אומר לי, קטונתי, I'm too small, מכל החסים אשר עשית את עבדיך. יעקב קולז מסב לסבב השם. What? You call yourself סבב השם? How can you call yourself סבב השם if you don't promise, if you don't fulfill the promise? That's the problem. You give yourself a title, you're the slave of Hashem. אשר עשית עבדיך, השם, you did me so many things. Then he said to me, I said, את עבדיך, you my slave, by not fulfilling the promise, how can it be? I'll show you. I'm going to push you to see. Maybe you're going to, maybe you wake up. Here comes the Gemara, and Sir Rabbi Tom Nuziel, and the Gemara says that Hashem is sending Malach HaMavet to kill Yaakov. The Gemara says, Babu Nedarim. The Gemara says, a person has to be very careful. If he doesn't keep the Neder, he might die. His children might die. His wife might die. In one version, the Gemara said, Rachel, may you die because Yaakov did not fulfill the promise. And what happened? What happened? I tell you what happened. You made a neder, you became like the slave of Hashem. When you don't fulfill the neder, you rebel, you betrayed Hashem. That's the problem. The death penalty. You call yourself the slave of Hashem, Yaakov. And you don't do what you said. Where is the 20%? Where is the, why are you not running to fulfill the promise? I'm running. Therefore, the Malach HaMavet, this Tzar Shel Esav, is coming down. And he wants to kill Yaakov. Hashem put him in the form of a person to wake up Yaakov. The Gemara says the angel told Yaakov, where is the promise that you promised? That's how Yaakov knew it's an angel. Maybe just a wrestler. The angel told Yaakov, Avinu, I'm fighting to kill you because you didn't fulfill the promise. To kill me, promise. What's the promise? Promise is called Bina. The Gemara that Zohar says all the judgment that come from that section, it's called understanding in Shamayim. This is Olam HaTshuva, you do Teshuva, it goes over there. From there, all the Gzerot comes from Bina. I says, Yaakov, look what you did. You promised to Hashem something, and you call yourself a slave, and you're not a slave, and where's the promise? So the Gemara says, immediately, Yaakov in his head did Maaser, and Michael, so we told him, picked up Levi, because Yaakov said, I'll give 20% from everything. He says, everything is one of the children also be. Not one of the children. He says, there's a whole calculation. Every Bechor for every mother should be a slave to Hashem, and then should be a slave to Hashem also Levi. And then, at that moment, Yaakov was able, so called, to hold down the angel. And that Yaakov won him. You can't win an angel. But the minute that Yaakov decided to give the 20%, and Michael picked up Levi, he says, Hashem, also, he is also a slave to you, he is also a slave to you. At that moment, Yaakov would come here. The Torah says, okay, so now the angel tells Yaakov, okay, release me. Yaakov says, no. I won't release you till you agree that the blessings that I got from Yitzchak are valid. And he says, no, listen, you got to Bethel. When you fulfill the promise over there, Hashem can call Israel. You know, Israel, because if you write Yaakov, Israel, you write those two names together, you put a vav on Yaakov, so Yaakov sometimes has a vav. And five times in Tanakh, Yaakov has a vav. Then it becomes the second sentence, Ana Bechoach. Kabel, Rinat, Amcha, Sagven, Talim, Noah. This is Bek, Malach HaMavet. Yes, Yaakov Israel is such a powerful name. That's what the angel tells him. Your name is not going to be not Yaakov by itself, not Israel by itself. It's going to be Yaakov Israel. Sometimes Yaakov, sometimes Israel. Why? What's to call me Israel? You don't understand. It's not Israel, it's not Yaakov. It's to tell you that what you did now, that you overcome me, how did you overcome an angel? Because now you fulfill the promise, partially at least, partially, that you give 20%. It's not completely. I said, when you get there to Bethel over there, and then you get to this monument, and you fulfill your promise completely, and Hashem is going to be over there, and Hashem is going to say, Yaakov lo yamer, Shemcha Yisrael, what difference is Yisrael? No. Yisrael, because you overcome an angel. You can't overcome an angel. Or you overcome Esav Melavan. What difference does it make? No, it doesn't. This is Hashem gives us the ingredients of the patent, how to overcome our enemies. It's how you overcome the enemies, you make Nedarim sitting on us. Every soldier, when he goes to the front, he has to make a neder. When you make a neder, you become the slave of Hashem. Yimach Shemam, the Arabs cannot kill the slave of Hashem. So that's what the Torah tells us. The whole thing runs on being connected to that section upstairs, then you become the slave of Hashem. You're slave of Hashem, you are protected. So, Eretz Israel, Bnei Israel, what do you call it? Israel? What do you have in his name? What's his name? This is the name of protection. His name to remind us what happened. And this is partially, as I said, this is the secret. We don't have to, we're not allowed to eat this vein on the right thigh of an animal. It's to remember the angel touched us. I said, what did we touch? They touched Yaakov. It's a reminder constantly, even in Beit HaMikdash. When they slaughtered animals, they had to take this vein out. What do you call it? Sciatic vein. I said, take it and burn it. They used to burn it on the altar. It's only to remind us they have to be the slaves of Hashem. I say, Hanukkah is coming. It says the Chashmonaim, 13 of them were able to overcome hundreds of thousands of soldiers. I said, the reason why, because Kohen is Eved Hashem. But you have to have it in your mind that you're the slave of Hashem. If you have a slave of Hashem, you don't need the army. 13 people. I said, draft everybody. Don't draft nothing. If you're a slave of Hashem, you have to draft soldiers. You have to be 13 people able to kill and chase hundreds of thousands of soldiers. This is Hanukkah. I says, why? Because those 13 were the slaves of Hashem. I said, the slave of Hashem is all the way to Bina, under the crown of Hashem. And this is what the parasha is teaching us. As Chachamim said, the Gemara says, Chachamim used to go to Rome to plead with the government of Rome. He makshim all the time decrees to kill Am Yisrael after the Sovet HaMikdash. Before they went to Rome, they read Parashat Vayishlach. As Chachamim said, before a person goes on a trip and says, on a dangerous mission, should read this parasha. What if the parasha? Yaakov didn't survive this out? No. Because this parasha tells us how to survive. The only thing you can survive is a neder. No dream, bad tzara. A person always has a difficult time looking for a parking spot. Is there any parking? I can't find a parking spot. I say, $1 kopat ha'ir. Make neder. Neder, you become the Zev Hashem, that Hashem takes care of you. So that's what the Zohar said. The Torah writes the stories. The Zev Hashem is not a history, it's a guide. I was to bring Moshe Rabbeinu.
Amen.
Amen.